You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
How are you?
I'm great.
It's been a couple of weeks. Devin, good to see you again.
Buenos tardes, Alan.
Buenos tardes, dude. You're gonna start right in, aren't you?
I said buenos tardes.
Yes, you're gonna start right in that I was late again. I know. I get it. It's okay.
It happens.
It's okay.
But since we've had him we need to introduce someone.
Alan. Well, yeah, he's already jumping in on the tardes talk too. So I might as well introduce him. Hey, we have longtime listener and good friend of all of us of the program, Jared. Jared popping in and joining us. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Hey, you didn't talk about my app. What's up with that?
Your app? What am I missing?
AT.
He wants you to give him a
49.
Yeah.
Called a shout out.
Well, I was going to let you.
Hold up, Jared.
I was going to let.
I'm totally just messing with you.
So, all right, Jared. Like I said, you've been a longtime listener and a good friend of all of us. Why don't you tell everybody? I mean, we'll do it at the end too, but tell everybody where they can find you on the Twitterverse.
Okay. It's at Go the Distance 49. Jared Mbappe.
Jared Mbappe. I don't want to even ask about the Mbappe part, but maybe I should.
You don't know who Mbappe is? World Cup soccer, man. He's a 19-year-old who's the youngest player to score in a World Cup since Pele. Mbappe.
Yeah, well, you're starting to talk soccer talk, and that's where you lost me, so it's all good.
Alan, you are blocked. Blocked.
Hey, I'm not the only one on this show that doesn't watch too much soccer, right, Germs?
That's true. Although I did watch the World Cup and was able to get into it.
Okay.
Alan, take that L.
Here's the question. Did you know who Mbappe is?
John.
Before that I watched the game, no.
Okay.
But before this podcast, did you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I watched the game.
I'm suddenly feeling this is a dump on Alan podcast. It's okay. All right.
So it's just another week. Jared, your background.
You should have known this was coming. Devin and I colluded, so.
No. I would never collude, and we're not going to get into the would or wouldn't collude. But Jared, you're on the podcast with us.
Hey, Jared, hold on.
What's your?
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I love jokes.
What's your background?
I love jokes,
Jared.
Because you come on the show. We've had a lot of writers, and you've been a writer for some of the local blogs, right?
So give your background.
Yeah. It used to be Purple and Blues. It's now the JNotes.com. We have the two most baller editors in the blogosphere, to be honest.
Ryan Aston and Jared Woodcox.
Oh, those gentlemen are very fine. You can find them at Round Ball Ruckus and at Jared Woodcox.
Yep, both stellar dudes. Stellar dudes.
Oh, yeah. They're insane, and they've got great takes and analysis. Jared is also really into the Pacers, so if we have any people out there in Indiana or whatnot, if you can at him with your Pacers takes, and he will love it. He will love you.
So, and being that we're a Torn by Sports podcast, I wanted to mention that you have a bit of history with Torn by Sports because you used to do a podcast with Brett about RSL.
Oh, yep. Not just Brett. Oh, how are you going to not give your man Rich the respect he deserves, man?
This is true. Rich deserves it too. But yeah, you used to do some podcasting for RSL. You're an avid soccer RSL fan. Folks, if you don't know Jared on Twitter, he's a big time Ute fan, but he's an even bigger, I would say you're an even bigger RSL fan.
I think it kind of depends because with the Ute games, I work a lot of during the basketball games and stuff, so I don't catch as many of those. And then when it comes to football, it can be kind of tough because I didn't, you know, for a while, I didn't really have Pac-12 network or access to any cable. So it could be tough unless I was at the game. So,
right. So, all right. Now let's go ahead and get into our conversations. Like we usually do, we're going to talk Jazz. John, Where do you want to start?
Well, the news that affects the Jazz most over the last couple of weeks is the fact that they did not pick up Jarebko's option. He is no longer on the Jazz, and he has since joined the Golden State Warriors. Other than that, that's the only real change to the roster the Jazz have made.
Nah, George Niang, the addition of George Niang to the active.
Yeah, but he was with the team last year.
Yeah, but a two-way and actually moving into a guaranteed contract, that's pretty cool. I really. Shouts to George, man.
Well, even the bigger news on this one, John, is not only did we say goodbye to Jarebko, but Jarebko just signed him up for the championship bus.
Yeah, he's foregone conclusion. He's going to win.
He's going to get himself a ring.
So as it stands, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Jazz have at this time a full roster, and they have used one of their two-way contracts to re-sign Nas Mitru-Long to another deal for right. this year. So they've got one opening, and that's really what training camp's going to be determining, right? Everything else is pretty much set up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd say the front runner right now is Stanton Kidd based on his summer league performance.
Is that about right though, John?
They've got Kidd and they've also got Lyles. They're both invited and they'll be there. So yeah, I think it's right now it looks like it's between those two for the spot.
Why did I think we already had two-way contracts? Did I misunderstand something along the way?
When they announce signings, they kind of muddle. They don't give the details on the signings. I've been confused by some of these announcements. Like I saw Stanton Kidd is signed, and that was before the Niang deal, so I wasn't sure.
His signing, you have to follow Tony Jones and look at his takes on it because he has the full breakdowns of what happens. But and I know you guys all know Tony. He's been on the pod, and he's great. He loves you guys. So Tony broke it down that he signed a deal where if he gets cut at the end of training camp, he gets 50K, and then like the Stars have his right. So that's so in other words, it's basically giving him a minimum salary of 75K to be on the Stars next year.
Well,
instead
right,
of
then.
Going over to Europe or whatever. So.
Okay. Well, so there's where our roster stands right now. John, you also mentioned some final summer league thoughts. Any final thoughts you wanted to touch on with summer league? I didn't really watch much of it after the Jazz. Well, I didn't even catch their tournament game either. Any final thoughts you want to throw in on that one, John?
Yeah, I thought Grayson Allen did about as well as I would have hoped that he could have. He wasn't as good a shooter as I would have hoped, but he was alert and contributing in all other aspects. He was a playmaker. He was a rebounder.
Seems to have a good court vision too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was pleased with him, and I think he'll be a really quality player that's going to get a lot of DNPs because he's behind even more quality players. And then Tony Bradley, he was fine, but I don't see him cracking the rotation. I mean, he played basically
anyway.
He played the way he played on the Stars, and he's good on the Stars. So he was good in summer league, but I don't know. I still put him behind Udo in the depth chart.
I agree.
Yeah, and that's why he needs at least another year of development before we can even think about him being on the 15-man roster full time.
So, you know, and you talked about Grayson Allen maybe getting some DNPs. You know, he's going to be fighting in those minutes there with guys like Alec Burks, Royce O'Neal, for playing time off the bench behind Donovan Mitchell. And you might even see, I mean, we already know what Royce is going to give us. You're going to have him on the court next to Donovan at times, and they're going to be able to change him around in spots. But that brings up Alec Burks. That brings up Grayson Allen. You mentioned Grayson Allen getting DNPs. Does that mean Alec Burks maybe gets more time early on? Is there thoughts maybe he doesn't stay on the roster the entire year? John, what do you think?
I think Burks, I mean, his longevity just shows that he's going to get another chance. His work in the playoffs shows that he's going to get another chance. I think they're going to try to feature him. But ultimately, I think that feature is going to see if they can trade him so that they can get an asset out of him rather than letting him go next year. I don't see any way he's on the Jazz next year. So I think that's what this season's going to be about.
What do you think, Jared? I know I'm curious your thoughts on this.
Well, my personal opinion on the matter is I think that they're definitely going to be gauging interest on Burks to move him and move him to a situation where he wants to go to. Because, and I think they're probably going to send him east. In fact, my inclination would be that they'd send him somewhere like, I think he could be a good vet leader type on a place like Orlando, but I only see that really working if the Jazz figure out next year that we're not going to get Middleton or whatnot, and they decide to trade for Fournier and then commit to him long-term. And I don't know if he really fits us because he's not great defensively. He tries, but he's not like your prototypical stretch four that he can really guard other fours very well.
Right.
And that's really basically saying to Derek Favors that you're getting traded too.
Which I'm not of the opinion that Derek Favors is on that block. I think we've heard enough of that from Derek Favors for a while. I think Derek Favors, I mean, sure, they signed him to a 3-year deal, but I think Derek Favors, or 2-year deal, excuse
not
me.
Not 3 years.
Two-year deal. Thank you, Devin.
Second year is non-guaranteed.
Well, no, you're right. It's not guaranteed, so. But I think Derek Favors, the Jazz were committed to bring him back. I think he wants to be here. I think the Jazz want him here. I don't see that change. But back to Burks, everybody that's known me has known I've been on the Burks wagon since he was drafted. I've loved Burks all along. It's unfortunate that his NBA career has been derailed for most of it. His development's been derailed for most of it because of injury. Injury that, in my opinion, wasn't necessarily of his own doing either. I mean, a couple of freak incidents that put him out for seasons on end. So I like Burks. I always have. And so I'd hate to see him leave the Jazz rotation and ultimately leave the Jazz team. But I could definitely see that happening. I could see a trade take place where they move him. And you may not see them get a whole lot in return. They may just do it to dump salary.
I think at most they get a second round pick out of him.
Right. Dump salary and prepare for next summer. So, all right. Yeah. John, we talked before the show.
Wait, are you saying that trading him that they would be dumping his salary?
Well, I think they'd be looking to clear the space a little bit. Without Burke's salary on there, you give yourself more money at next summer for free agents.
All they have to do is renounce him because this is his last year. He's in contract.
But if they trade him, then they. You know, I'm just saying that they'll be it would be kind of like that kind of move. I don't think they're bringing any players back. That's what I'm saying. So, all right, John, we were talking before the show about a recent interview, Rudy Gobert on the Low Post. You mentioned you got a chance to listen to it. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I'll listen to any basketball podcast where a Jazz player is a guest. And, you know, I listen to Low all the time anyway. But it was enjoyable. I don't know how insightful these can be in the off season.
Right.
Nothing really surprised me out of it, but it's always nice to hear national media delve in to Jazz players and kind of pick their brains more.
A couple of things I enjoyed on it. Very, very early out the gate, Zach says to him, you know, defensive player of the year. And then he says to him, all NBA, or no, not all NBA. No, what did he ask him at very early on? And Rudy's response was,
yeah,
they care more about offense than defense. That's okay.
Yep.
And then I got a kick when he started talking about when Gordon Hayward left. Very interesting to hear vibes from Rudy Gobert when that took place, and how I guess Alec Jensen had mentioned to Zach that Rudy was the guy that rallied the team together and said when Gordon left, hey, we're going to be better off without him. If he doesn't want to play here, we're going to be better off without him. And very interesting to hear some of Rudy's thoughts on how he felt. I mean, he still talks to Gordon. They're still friends, obviously. But to hear him talk and rally the team around the idea that
to rally around the team
that they don't want, you know, that they'll be able to move on without Gordon is something that I think is commendable of Rudy. And yes, Jared, they're work friends, but Rudy did admit that he talks to Gordon frequently enough. So that's
text.
they do text and talk to each other. So, did you get a chance to listen to the podcast, Jared?
Absolutely. In fact, that's why you should know more about World Cup soccer, but I digress.
Yes, he did talk about World Cup soccer, and Zach did talk about his love of Croatia.
Croatia to go to the final.
Yep.
And Rudy predicted Croatia to go to the final, and, yeah.
Yep. So it was very interesting to hear.
So what we're hearing is, if you need to place a bet, Rudy Gobert is probably the guy that you want to talk to, because he absolutely
understands soccer.
Not just soccer. I mean, he knew the Jazz would be better. He knew who would be the finals in the World Cup. He knew who would win.
And he knew Donovan would be as good as he was back in Summer League last year. So, because Zach asked him that, said, how early did you think Donovan's going to be special? And Rudy said, in Summer League. Said he watched him go back and forth with Jason Tatum, and he knew he was going to be early on. He was going to be special.
And most importantly, he knows what risks to take.
Yep.
with his appearance. I have to ask, guys, because we one thing we haven't touched on yet, and that's the ESPYs. Donovan Mitchell taking home the hardware for the breakout athlete of the year,
and wearing the spider
and that's
suit.
That's what I'm getting to.
I know you are.
The suit. I need to know if you are fans or not, and I want to start with Jared because he's our guest.
You want me to start?
Yeah. I want to know if you like that suit or not. That's what I want to know.
Yes or no? Did you like the suit?
Are you kidding? You have to ask.
Yes, we do.
It's straight up Rudy, man. It's awesome. It's straight out of the 1980s. France is still in the 80s. That's what y'all don't understand.
But no. He was asking whether you liked Donovan Mitchell's spider suit.
Oh, Donovan's suit. I'm sorry. I thought we were still talking about Rudy. Because you guys are trying to throw curveballs. Yes, of course. Are you kidding? Spider-Man is the greatest superhero of all time. And if any of you try to fight me on this, there will be blood.
Just kidding, but whatever. Who has the better style, do you think, going forward? I guess that's where this transition happens. Is it Rudy or is it Donovan?
And I think he just answered it is Rudy.
No, it's not. Are you kidding? He's French. French style does not work here. He's French. French style does not work here. In France, if we were in France, I would say Rudy 100%. But we are in the USA.
So Donovan's red suit better than Rudy's purple.
Wait. Are we talking about the red, or are we talking about the spider suit?
We're talking about overall.
Red or Rudy's purple?
I didn't say red or purple alone. I said we're talking overall style, Jared.
I would go with Donovan still.
Okay.
I mean, I think Rudy edges him with the first suit, but that second suit that Donovan had, straight fire.
All right, John. So the question then goes to you: Which suit do you like better, or what was the question? Sorry, Devin, go back to the question. I lost it.
Okay, John. Did you like the spider suit?
I liked it. It reminded me of Jack Skellington.
Okay,
and
there you go.
That's a good comparison. I hadn't thought of that one.
There is.
And then overall,
I saw some memes of that. Yeah.
Rudy versus Donovan. If you're doing the fashion contest, who are you taking here,
John?
Well, Rudy has a bigger body of work, but I think Donovan's catching up.
That's true.
The body of work argument is a very good one. I like that, because Rudy does have he has the cheetah print. He has all that stuff, you know, in his back pocket.
And
you know, the most interesting man in the world is French, so.
Yes, Devin. No, we're passing that one right over.
I'm not sure where John's going. I know the original one was
talking about Boris Diaw. Boris Diaw, the most interesting man in the world.
Oh, the actual most interesting man in the world. I thought you were talking about the commercial. I'm sorry.
Most interesting man in the world.
Okay, I got you.
Go ahead.
He actually should. I'd love if he had his Twitter handle as the most interesting man in the world, because it was totally fit.
Well, let's jump to NBA. There's been some movement. Alan, I was going to ask you your thoughts on fashion, but let's be honest. You feel the same way that you do about soccer. You're just not going to go there anyway.
Hey, I'll be fair. I actually like Rudy's sense of fashion. I dig his stuff. His suits are pretty dapper.
Oh, wow.
His suits are pretty dapper. My favorite, I think, might be the gray or black suit that he wore. I can't remember what it was.
That one was really nice.
That one was dope. So, yeah, I like Rudy's sense of fashion, but I'm going to tell you right now, I liked the spider suit. I did. I liked the spider suit on the ESPYs for Donovan. So All right, let's. All right, that's enough Jazz talk. I think we've hit everything Jazz. Let's go ahead and move on to the NBA. And John, it's been a busy week. Kawhi Leonard has a new location and a new passport. And Devin, in the meantime, is a very popular tweeter on the Twitterverse for the week.
And he lets you know it on his Instagram
page. Yeah.
John, what do you want to get on that?
This is a good deal for both teams, ultimately. Spurs are a playoff team, even when they didn't have Kawhi all year. They do lose Danny Green as well, but you have a multi-time All-Star in DeRozan. You have a guy with his talents going into Popovich's system. And I would expect we would see him to be more efficient under Pop. And then Poeltl is a good backup center. And then they also get that first round. So that's a good haul for a team that had this disgruntled superstar who said, there's no way I want to play for you guys. I thought it was pretty decent. And then Toronto, you do get Danny Green. You have your 1 year on Kawhi. You have the East wide open. I think this automatically makes them the second best team in the East. They were the number one team in the East last year, but there were other
issues. Potentially the best.
They could be. I mean,
yeah, I think
you have to say that they're guaranteed 100% second round. They're most likely going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, depending how standings go.
I guarantee a former Jazz player is not happy about having to face Kawhi in the playoffs.
Does this wow, pulling out the Gordon Hayward reference there. But does
who are you talking about?
No, he's talking about CJ Miles.
Oh, is that what
Miles is not happy?
No,
I thought that's where he was going.
Here's my question, though. I mean, John, yes, it makes Toronto good, but that's assuming Kawhi stays engaged for the year.
Yeah. We've heard all the reports that he's unhappy about this. He doesn't want to go to Toronto. He doesn't want to be there. He could just pull a Brandon Rush and just be a grump the entire year and just be miserable. But I would think that, you know, once you're there, once it's your job, and once you know what, I have to be here for a year. You know, I think his professionalism will kick in. I just see that working. And ultimately, I don't give him good odds on keeping him. I mean, if they go to the finals, maybe he'd consider it. But if they win a championship, then your odds are a little better.
Does it really hurt his value if he chooses to grump about it? Because as we see already,
it absolutely does.
But we're seeing players already getting affected. We see Rodney Hood's choice in the playoffs of not wanting to play for Cleveland. I mean, he doesn't have a job yet.
I think the only people this hasn't affected his value on, the only team, are the Lakers.
But that's what I'm saying. For Kawhi, does it affect his value? Because he's a superstar level player, and maybe a team is willing to take a chance on him without worrying about whether that affects his value. Devin, you look like
the Clippers and Lakers, I'd say yes, but anybody else, I'd say no.
The amount you're allowed to grump is directly proportional to the talent you have. So Kawhi has a lot of rope.
Well, that actually depends.
Kawhi has a lot
opinion.
More rope than Hood.
I don't think, and I do agree with that, John. I 100% agree. But the thing that I think people are forgetting is we don't know how well he can play. I mean,
outside of the Spurs system.
No, not that. We don't know how well he can play post-injury.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Because he's coming off.
You're calling him low system, Kawhi.
No, the system that Popovich runs makes players better.
Yep.
And the fact that he can put a janitor in there, no disrespect to janitors, and have them become, you know, a 3-point threat, just speaks volumes as to what Pop can do. And so, yeah, there is a little bit of that, but I know that defensively, Kawhi has the talent. Offensively, he started to take over the load. From that championship year on.
But your question is the injury effect.
But with the injury and sitting out a season,
right?
And if he doesn't play much, he has to play this year. He has to.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he absolutely does.
No choice. You know, what happens is if he tries to sit out, then if he doesn't reach the number of games, then it turns into him not being able to go anywhere else because Toronto would still have his rights. But the fact is, if he mopes and doesn't play a lot and rides the pine because Toronto just doesn't want to deal with him, or he stays home for however long he can, I don't know how well he can play. Now, will a team take a risk on him? Yeah, but the fact is, Kawhi wants to be in L.A. Kawhi is going to go to L.A. because they'll pay the money.
Right.
But what it may do is it may help.
I'm not 100% convinced.
it, in my opinion, what this could do is if he does cause a problem, it could lower his check amount when he does go to LA.
Well, and here's I'm going to piggyback off of that just a little bit, Devin.
I disagree, first of all, I think either the Clippers or Lakers offer him a max deal.
Hold on, Jared. I'm gonna piggyback off of Devin a little bit here. First of all, I've read situations where he didn't want to go to LA and play with LeBron either. So I'm really kind of questioning whether he ends up with the Clippers at all. And let's not forget, LA is his home. LA is where he's from. But that all said, the one thing that I am kind of stuck on here is he did to the Spurs, you could argue, what Darren Williams may have done to the Jazz. Now, granted, it also involved a Hall of Fame coach leaving the Jazz, and the Hall of Fame coach hasn't left the Spurs yet. But I'm saying the Spurs organization, the Jazz organization, two organizations that are well-respected around the league, when you start acting like Darren Williams did back then, Kawhi Leonard does now, does that set a precedence in the NBA outside of teams like LA? But outside of that, how many teams want to take a chance on a guy who really made a big, big mistake in going up against one of the more respected organizations in the league? And that's where I wonder if that hurts him or not. I don't know what you think on that, John, or whether you'd agree with me on that thought process.
Well, when he's a free agent next year, I still think you will have a lot of teams who will try to gauge interest.
Okay.
If he ultimately decides, maybe the Lakers are only the eighth seed next year and LeBron actually starts to slow down, I don't really think he will. But maybe he decides he doesn't actually want to be second fiddle to LeBron. Maybe he looks at the Clippers.
Right.
Maybe some other team comes up and offer him. And I think if you were a team giving him a free agency offer, saying, hey, Kawhi, we'll give you the max, and here are the other benefits, and we're a playoff team, and he decides to go with you, then I don't think his stock has been hurt. It's
okay.
Because you're getting him of his own free will. He is traded to Toronto. That's a big risk for Toronto. But in free agency, no. A bunch of teams would love to throw the max at him and hope that he says yes.
Okay. All right. Before we move on to the other free agency move, the one person that I feel is going to be – has been lost in the discussion in this trade – you mentioned how DeMar DeRozan will work in San Antonio. I actually think it's a great move for Pirtle as well. Good friend of the program the other day, Greg, mentioned on Twitter the same thing. I think Pirtle's career might take a jump in San Antonio. I think this is good for his development. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. He's been a good backup in Toronto, and in San Antonio, I think he'll have a little more opportunity. So yeah, good for him.
Who's their starting center?
Their starting center is,
because LaMarcus is probably going to be your four, right?
Oh, Gasol's the starting center. That's right. And Gasol doesn't have many years left in him either.
Right. So this could be a good opportunity for him to rack up additional minutes where he's not behind Valanciunas.
Agreed.
And maybe work Gasol his way into a starting role. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So all right, moving on. Another big news. Carmelo Anthony has a new home.
They don't ask the Ute fan about the Ute. It's amazing.
We already had one Ute fan chime in on this. Jared, I know how you feel about this. You think it's good for Pirtle.
Okay, I'm glad that you know how I feel about
it. Well, do you or don't you?
Oh, I absolutely agree with Greg 100%.
Well, there you go. See, I know you. All right, moving on to the other free agency move. John, Melo has a new place.
Yeah, I think it's really funny that OKC figured out a way to get off his salary without them being the ones to buy him out. They were able to get more talent. They now have an overpaid but very talented backup point guard in Schroeder. They got TLC from Philly. I was surprised that was a throw-in because I think he still has a lot of potential. I think they won the trade, really. And Atlanta gave them a chance to get more assets and just free up all kinds of space and still be a bad team so they can get high draft picks.
How do you raise your hand on this podcast?
It's never been about raising hands. We've always just kind of like gone around the room a little bit. What you got, Jared?
Well, I agree with John, and I'd like to add that I think. Oh shoot, lost my train of thought. Sorry, I'm having to get ready for work on the fly.
Here's the second part of the Melo thing, though, is it looks like he's going to sign with Houston. Houston has lost Ariza. They've lost Elmam. They're gaining Melo. They're getting a decent offensive player who might find a resurgence in Houston's system, but really they're losing a lot on defense, and I think Houston is the worst team.
I think that they are going to go – they're going to have some midseason action, if not some action later this week and month. So –
what do you mean?
Definitely quote me on that. I think Morey will try to get players like Courtney Lee and whatnot, because Lee is still a good player, but he's stuck in a terrible New York organization, which honestly, I think the Knicks have a real shot to be a lot better next year based on what Durant decides to do and Kyrie and Butler decide to do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't think Houston's getting any better. Like John mentioned, you lose Mbamute and you lose Ariza, right, and you get worse defensively, right, and then you pick up Melo. And I don't know that that's a good. I don't know that that's a good marriage to bring Melo in.
No, and I think Jared is saying he agrees, but okay, that they could make an additional move,
right,
via trade, or I don't know who's
which
out.
Which mitigates Melo's impact, negative impact. I think there are additional defensive players out there that Morey has identified that are underrated that he could go snag.
I like that you mentioned Courtney Lee, because I think he's a good option too.
Yeah, I think he's really solid. I think he could do well there.
Just anyway. Random thought. Where's Tony Allen? Is he still in Memphis?
I think he's out of the league. No, he's not.
I think he dropped off, dude. He just
like
disappeared.
2 years. He might be in China or something. I'm not sure. You're the producer. I thought you were supposed to have that Googled.
No. I just show up and hit the record button. That's really all I do, and then I make smart aleck remarks the rest of the time.
I'm looking right now.
No, you just start talking defensive players, and it pops into my mind. I'm like, I haven't heard from him in a while.
But see, I don't think Tony Allen's what he once was either.
Well, he was with the Pelicans.
Yes.
And he's pretty sure he's still a free agent. But
yeah, Pelicans was his last stop. Yes.
So he's maybe unofficially retired, like Williams, or he's something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he's a free agent, just kind of out there. He is 36. I don't know who wants to take a chance on him.
No one.
But on a vet minimum?
Yeah, but on a guy that I think has lost a step. I don't think Tony Allen is that player that he once was, including defensively. I just don't think he's that kind of guy anymore. I think you can find better options.
They're picking up Melo. You think they're going to complain about a minimum for for Tony Allen?
All right, good point.
We had another signing that we haven't brought up. Really?
Who did we have? Did we not bring up?
We haven't talked Jabari.
Oh yes, that's true. Jabari Parker to the Bulls.
Yep.
Hashtag Team Cancer.
You think so?
Hashtag Mormon Mellow.
I am.
Go
ahead, John.
Go ahead, Alan. No, after you.
I was just going to say, I think that's a good move for him and for the Bulls. I am a little taken back by the comments that have surfaced over the last week about his focus on the offensive game and less on the defensive side of the ball.
That one quote made me so glad that he didn't wind up on the Jazz, because if that's your philosophy, it's just not going to work here.
Right.
And that mentality, you know, players that have that mentality just don't have long-term success. So I'm good luck to Chicago. Hope you guys can figure out how to turn that around with him. Chicago, you know, in a very, very weak East, still is probably a lottery team. But this is, it's basically a one-year rental on him. I believe the second option is non-guaranteed. Maybe it's a player option. I can't remember. But, you know, this gives them a chance to review that, see if they can figure out how to play him and Lauri Markkanen together. Maybe they figure out how to make their offensive more effective, because they have a lot of defensive problems. And, you know, throw in Zach LaVine as well with his attitude. Chicago will be fun for the first few weeks, and then they'll be a lottery team everyone forgets about.
And defense. I mean, they are going exactly 180 opposite from that Thibs team, which I don't like Thibs defensively anymore either. I think he's awful. But
I've lost a lot of respect for Thibs.
So have I.
I mean, he got Minnesota for the first time in the playoffs, the first time in long, long time, 12, 14 years. But he is just wearing his players down, and he's just like sucking the joy out of basketball on his team. And I wish Minnesota fans.
He maybe has one more year, especially if he loses and doesn't go to the playoffs this year. I think that they're not long for him, even as the team president that they gave a ginormous contract.
I know. We need to get a show going here eventually where we can get Zach back on to talk about that. Because if anybody knows the ins and outs of the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's Zach Harper. We need to have him on and talk about this again.
Yeah. You should totally have Harper on the pod. He's great. He's great on the back-to-back network. He knows his
Wolves too. He's the biggest Wolves fan I know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's not saying much because I don't know a lot of Wolves fans.
Well, and he has legitimate sources within the organization because he covered them professionally. So
yes, he did.
And he called that thing that story that was like a non-story. He called that like 6 months, a year ago. The thing about Butler not being happy with the young guys.
Right.
He's like, this is old information. I reported on this a year ago.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
We really kind of heard rumblings of that all year with like Tibbs guys versus not Tibbs guys.
Yeah.
And it only made sense. So, I mean, you can only bring in so many bulls that you coached before for it, not a problem eventually.
Right. Okay. So before we move on from NBA, the one thing you wanted to touch on, John, the disparity between East and West is just not getting any better.
Nope. You got LeBron in the West now, and you do have Kawhi going to the East, but he went to one of the best teams in the East anyway. So really, who would you pick as the fourth best team in the East right now?
Pacers?
I give them the edge over the Sixers,
yeah.
And maybe...
Oh, you put them over the Sixers? Because I have Celtics, Raptors, Sixers. You have Pacers. Who would you have third best?
Better than the Pacers? Oh, you know what? Let's see.
What's your top four?
Rank your top four, Jared.
I'm trying to remember my third, but I would definitely say Celtics, then Raptors, and shoot, off the top of my head, I'm blanking. If the Sixers are third, if they are actually going to add Korver. Because there's been rumblings that they're looking to add Korver, and they've been making a lot of moves that look like they're making room for him.
So. Well, let's put it this way. Sixers were a 52-win team last year. I don't see why they don't repeat that. I know they haven't been able to land any big names. But
It's about who they lost. It's about who they lost, and it's about that streak at the end of the season where they were playing a garbage schedule. So I feel like they're probably a 50-win team.
That's still probably third.
Yeah, I still think it's third.
I don't know, man. I feel like the Pacers, with that Tyreek Evans signing and the other guy they snagged.
Here's another team I'll throw in the mix for the top four or five spot, John, and I want your thought, too, and Jared, maybe. But the one team that hasn't been mentioned is Detroit. Can Detroit make a jump up to the top four or five?
No. I have them at best as like sixth, maybe.
Okay. I'm just throwing that out there.
I do think they could be a playoff team, but right. I think they will be a road playoff team.
Okay.
But that will probably save Stan Van's job. This is not Stan Van. Isn't coach it Casey? They just got his coach.
Yep. Doing
yeah,
Casey.
So I think between Casey and, Blake Griffin getting a full year. Yeah, they have enough talent, and the East is so dang thin that I see Detroit getting there.
Okay.
You know what? Here's the thing with the East, the point I wanted to make. Whoever the fourth best team is in the East, I don't even know if they make the playoffs in the West.
Yeah.
I would agree with that statement. Totally.
Because you're probably going to have close to a 50-win team probably not make the playoffs in the West too, right?
Which is why I think Adam Silver is going to be looking to make some kind of change to try to help Stars stay in the East somehow. I think he's going to be looking for some kind of way.
He needs some owners to sell their teams.
Yeah, absolutely. The Wizards GM should have been fired years ago. Grunfeld is one of the worst in the league.
Dolan needs to sell the Knicks.
Oh, Dan, Dolan is awful.
Dan Gilbert.
If they're good, it'll be in spite of Dolan.
Dan Gilbert. Oh, wait, did I mention that? Yeah.
Dan Gilbert is awful too. Yeah. Yeah. He Cavs Dan. Hey, are you blocked by Cavs Dan? If you're not, then you're not a true Dan Gilbert hater.
But no, and I think we can all agree on the New York Knicks. That ownership has to change. They're not going to get players that are going to want to come play there until that happens. That's just an ugly situation that's gotten worse.
I don't 100% buy that, because I think the Knicks have a mystique that is almost in a way more attractive than the Lakers' mystique to a player like Durant, who's looking to maybe stop being the bad guy. And, you know, Knicks fans will adore him if he came there. And so, like, if he wants to be loved again, that's what he'll do.
Right.
Something like that.
He doesn't.
No.
I mean, his social media persona and, you know, the burner accounts and all that, it suggests that he would. But let's be honest, these guys in Golden State, if they're smart, they're just going to keep doing this.
Yep.
Because they can make enough money off of promotions and everything else, sponsorships. Just keep running the league.
I'm pretty sure that he doesn't want to stay there more than 2 more years. Pretty sure he has a next chapter like LeBron. He's going to do the LeBron thing and split his career up.
All right. So that's it for all of our NBA talk. We're going to move on to Devin's quick hits. But before we do, Jared, I know you mentioned you're getting ready for work. When do you have to go? Because we don't want to cut into your time getting to work.
I'm already on the road.
Oh, look at you. Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a transition that I never realized was there.
We might have to start doing that with you, Alan. You know, we could start a podcast.
Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, CarCast.
Jared's already on the road. Let's ask him the questions we ask all guests.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm not driving, so I'm safe. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your most and least favorite movie?
Oh, my most favorite. Oh, man, you put me in a tough place. Most favorite movie? If you asked me on a knee-jerk reaction, I'd probably say Jurassic Park. I think that's one of Spielberg's best films.
Okay.
Least favorite movie? Give me Pacific Rim.
Really?
Garbage. Or Battleship. One of those two. They're both.
What
awful.
You mean? You, don't tell me you actually liked Pixels.
What?
Pixels was awful.
It's an awful movie, but I wouldn't say it's worse than Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim is wannabe anime that's masquerading as something mainstream. Pacific Rim is like they took a bad, really bad Godzilla film, because I've watched a lot of bad Godzilla films. Like, they took a really bad Godzilla film, added some CGI, and decided, yeah, this will work.
I might have to watch that.
And they didn't write it as well as Godzilla films. And they didn't write it as well as Godzilla films. Every Godzilla film I have ever seen, even those old 60s or maybe late 50s ones, they are so much better just because of what they are than Pacific Rim. It is one of the worst films I've ever viewed. And I wanted to kill myself for even watching it.
And now you've intrigued.
I was like, why didn't I turn this off?
Now
3 hours ago.
Now you've piqued Devin's interest into Pacific Rim. He wants to watch Pacific Rim.
Let me check Netflix, see if this is on here.
It's not on Netflix. Okay. You can get it from the library, I'm sure. Nobody else is looking to get it.
What's a library?
Oh, whoa. Were there any other questions we usually ask John, or were those the main ones?
I just wanted to touch in on Pacific Rim. I didn't actually like Pacific Rim. I never understood why so many people seem to. And it made so much money in China that a Chinese production company financed the sequel. If it wasn't for them, we never would have had the sequel. And the sequel was successful in China. It bombed here. I had never had any desire to see it. But yeah, I gotta agree. I didn't really like Pacific Rim, and Battleship was pretty bad too.
Yeah, I didn't like Battleship, but Pacific Rim I liked, and the second one I liked too. So hey,
You saw the second one?
Yes, I did. We rented it.
It's not
any better.
My
I doubt it. I don't know.
My 12-year-old son wanted to see it, and no, John, it's not necessarily any better. No, I think I like the first one better.
I felt bad for John Boyega when he was cast in that. I'm like, oh no, don't do this, man. You're in Star Wars. Don't do this. Don't do this to me. I'm not going to watch this, John. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. But he's really good. Have you ever seen his, he has a movie that's on Netflix called like Empire or something, or not Empire, but Imperial Dreams or something. That's a good watch. That's a great Netflix movie.
I'll have to check that out. I have not seen it, but I'll have to check it out.
He's basically playing a guy that just got out of jail, and it's a really interesting story. I like it.
Devin, do we just keep on the pop culture talk then since we're already here? Did you have some quick hits you wanted to hit before we do that?
No, we can just go to pop culture. That's fine.
Okay. All right. John, we're already here. We might as well carry on with pop culture. Did we get a chance to talk Ant-Man?
I don't know if we did. Let's see. That would have been 2 weeks ago. No, we haven't.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Let's talk Ant-Man. What did you think?
I love Ant-Man. I thought it was hilarious. It's up there with the funniest of the Marvel movies.
Yep.
It's always impressive when a sequel is able to live up to the original. I thought this one did.
Absolutely.
And
I agree.
Most Marvels don't, really, honestly. I was disappointed by Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Iron Man 2.
Yeah, it's the rare sequel that you can almost think about if it matches or it maybe even slightly exceeds the first, because I think the only sequel I can think of that exceeded the first was
Star Wars,
the second Empire Strikes Back movie. We're talking Marvel movies, man.
I know.
Devin's gonna shoot you for talking Star Wars.
No, he's good. He good.
You guys haven't followed through on the promise to force him to watch them all.
Oh, he's got my copies. He's been he will watch them.
He hasn't been watching them. Ask him.
I watched one of them and then I didn't watch the rest because, you know,
you just hadn't had time.
I'm a busy guy.
Okay, back to Ant-Man though. John, what did you think? I'm curious. I think Michael Peña stole the show again.
Yeah, he was really good. I like his crew. I liked overall how the stakes were not that big. It's kind of nice to not have the entire world at stake and just have this side adventure. I think that really helps the Marvel universe in general.
I really loved that they kept it fun and light, and they lived up to the ridiculous feeling of Ant-Man as a superhero. It was great.
And John, I'll tell you, Jared, I'm going to come back to your thoughts on this in a minute, but John, I was going to tell you that in the first movie, I enjoyed the sequence with Michael Peña with the system. And we had a very similar circumstance in this one where they were talking about truth serum, and that entire sequence like you said, this movie was fun, and I found myself laughing from start to finish. I thought the story was actually wonderful. It was really, really good. I still think it opens it up for a third one as well. And if you haven't seen it, folks, stick around because there's a little tie-in with Avengers Infinity War. And there is also a thing at the very, very end as well. But the tie-in with Infinity War was good. But what I really liked about this too, and what I'm liking what Marvel's doing, John, is that they're tying all of these films in so well. During this entire film, if you understood Civil War, there was a lot of Civil War reference in this.
Yes.
And there had to be, because the story in this film is surrounding his punishment for being involved in Civil War, right?
Right.
Yeah, and another shout out to Randall Park. I thought he was really funny as the FBI agent who kept trying to catch him.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Jared, any final thoughts on Ant-Man? Because I know you've seen it and you loved it, but give any final thoughts on it as well.
Oh, my final thought on Ant-Man would be second funniest movie of the summer. Number one, funny movie I'd say is Tag. I would say go see that. Absolutely, both are doing like movie zone type thing. It's a double thumbs up or whatnot.
Okay. So Tag, and I know you mentioned Tag the other day. I'd like to. I need to look into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's a true story. It's based on a group of friends that for 23 years had been playing a game of tag, and it's how they stayed in touch. And even seeing that they lived across the country from each other and whatnot for the month of March, they would play a game of tag every year. They would just find time off, find ways to make road trips on the weekends and stuff like that to just mess with each other and have fun. And one of them had never been tagged, and he was going to, one of the guys said he was going to retire, which I'm not going to spoil it because I could explain more on that. But so they said, this is our last chance to get him. He's going to retire and go out a champion because he's getting married. We have to tag him, you know, at or before his wedding. He'll never be expecting us because, you know, he's just been completely out of touch, and let's go. And one of the friends is like a CEO of a Fortune 500 pharma company, and the guy shows up to tag him in a disguise. It's great. That sequence is awesome. It's just, and Hannibal Buress is just, he's insanely funny in this movie.
Have you seen Tag, John?
I could talk about it all day.
Yeah. I thought I had reviewed it last time, but maybe I didn't. But yeah, it's really good. It's the one joke, basically, these guys trying to tag each other, and yet it never gets old, and it just stays funny through the whole thing.
All right. Well, I have two suggestions from both Jared and John to see Tag, so I guess I need to add that to my piqued my interest list for sure. So,
Well, it's R, though. So for, you know, the families out there, you know, it's R. I mean, you might be disappointed, but it's not graphic R at all.
It's, yeah, it's probably got like 30, 40 F-words.
Right.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay, John, you wanted to touch on the box office, and actually, I'm glad you did because I was surprised at the drop-off Ant-Man had in week two.
I'm not. When you open that big, you tend to have steep drops.
Yeah, but that was a huge drop. 75%, did they say?
No, 61%.
61%. 75 mil drop-off, was it? Or no, wait. Give me the numbers.
They
You're on top of it.
75 million. They got 29 million in their second week. It's a 61% drop off. That's actually pretty decent for a movie that opens that high.
I got you. Yeah. Your thoughts on the box office so far otherwise?
So far otherwise, I'm just going to open this up so we can go over what the biggest movies of summer have been so far.
Okay.
You have Infinity War, which is the number one. It's at 676 million. And this is all domestic numbers. Incredibles 2 is already at 540 million. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is third with 371 million. Deadpool 2 is fourth at 316 million. And fifth is Solo, A Star Wars Story. And I've touched on this a bit ago, but yeah, Solo is actually going to lose money. They're not going to make money until the home market. They're not doing well overseas. They didn't do as well as expected here. Rule of thumb is you have to triple your production budget to make a profit, and they're not going to come close to that.
Which is unfortunate because it was a very entertaining film.
Yeah, it was. And Ant-Man is already sixth at 145 million.
It's on the other side. You need to go around.
What's that, Jared?
You've got to go around.
He's giving directions.
Well, what's he giving directions on the podcast for?
You know why. This is your fault.
Okay. but, John, I mean, as disappointing as Solo was, you had it in your top 10, and here it is still in the top 10, and I think it's going to remain there. But I'm looking at some of the other numbers.
Yeah.
Was this a little bit of a lackluster blockbuster season?
No.
No way.
No. Let me repeat again. Avengers got 676 million.
Yeah. This is a resurgence. You're crazy. Man.
All right.
You're completely off your rocker.
I just find it funny that Solo drops off. I mean, still makes a modest amount. It doesn't do as well, and it ends up losing. And yet, it's still going to be in the top 10 blockbuster movies for the summer.
They doubled their budget.
Right.
The production costs just skyrocketed after they fired the directors when they're only a few weeks away from finishing.
And you got to bring in a guy like Ron Howard.
That might have been a stupid move, in my opinion. I think they would have made more money if they kept it as is. Yes, take a left here.
What were you going to say, John?
I don't know. I feel like I'm driving Jared's Uber right now. Hang on a second. No, it's been overall a very successful box office, and we still have Mission Impossible 6 coming out,
right?
And that's gonna be another one that makes 200 million. As far as Solo goes, its money is about on par with what Amazing Spider-Man 2 did.
Okay.
And Amazing Spider-Man 2 was in the top 10 that year, but it underperformed so much that they just decided to scrap it and reboot Spider-Man, because
I gotcha.
The trajectory just indicated Amazing Spider-Man 3 was going to flop if they kept going that way.
I gotcha.
And that movie bombed for many reasons, but
right.
Yeah, Solo, I mean, I liked Solo.
The movie bombed because it was really two movies, and the villain was horrible. Jamie Foxx was awful in that. It's probably the worst thing he's ever done, in my opinion.
Well, I didn't like the whole Hobgoblin redo.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
I didn't like how they
it was
planted
awful.
All these seeds to bring back Sinister Six. I mean, it was just way too much.
No, Sony did a bad job with that, but it looks like they're doing very good work with Venom, and I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
John,
you were going to mention
Tom Hardy is a perfect choice for Venom. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that film too. So is my son and I are both looking forward to that film. John, you had a thought there. You were mentioning about Solo, I think.
Solo is like, I mean, it was a good movie, I thought, but it's like Amazing Spider-Man 2, where if you underperform this much, you have to rethink the directions you're going. And that's what happened with Disney and Star Wars, is they put all their other standalone movies on hold to try to rethink how they're actually going to proceed with Star Wars going forward, because Solo was such an underperformer. So the planned young Obi-Wan movie is on hold. The planned Boba Fett movie is on hold, although they still have a director attached.
By the way, I'm gonna stop you for a second, John. That all of that was rumor, was never confirmed by anybody in Star Wars or in Lucasfilm. And in fact, a good friend that part of my podcast network, Jason Ward from Making Star Wars, ended up touching base with ABC News, an ABC News individual who's in close with Lucasfilm, and said that all of that was rumor and never confirmed. So I don't know if they've put it all on hold. That still has not been made official.
But I wouldn't be surprised if that rumor was true.
Well, this guy said Lucasfilm told him otherwise.
Oh. So. See, that's a very corporate answer.
No, that's a Disney.
That's a very safe corporate answer.
Lucasfilm isn't Disney. Disney is basically calling the shots behind the scenes at Lucasfilm. So I don't.
No, they're actually not. But that's a nice thought that they are. But that Disney does not.
I completely disagree with you.
And you can disagree all you want, but Disney is not calling the shots at Lucasfilm. I can guarantee you that. That said, they did make some announcements at San Diego Comic-Con that they're bringing back 12 episodes of The Clone Wars. So staying on the pop culture theme here, I'm excited about that. Clone Wars coming back. Dave Filoni gets to put his final touches and actually have some closure with it. I'm excited about that. So,
seems like a weird thing to do to me, but I think it's an excuse to use Freddie Prinze Jr.
Well, they didn't use him in the Clone Wars before, so I don't know why they'd use him again.
What do you mean again? They're just going to do a younger version of Caleb and kind of show how he became who he is, in my opinion.
That's a possibility. Anyway, all right. That said,
those are the rumors I heard, but okay.
All right. With all that said, is that everything on Blockbuster? Are we done? Summer Blockbuster, is that it, John?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. We've been going a while. Jared is now safely at work. He's been giving directions on our show. So if anybody needed a ride around.
Wait a minute.
What am I forgetting, Devin? I'm sorry.
Jared can give directions. I can mention something.
Okay, fine. Oh, that's right. We've got to have Devin's weekly mention of Netflix binge-worthy shows. Go ahead, Devin.
I found the rom-com Netflix originals.
The rom-com?
Yeah. That means romantic comedy.
Oh boy, here we go.
They are good.
Alan doesn't know what a rom-com is. Jeez.
Go ahead, Dev. Devin.
I watched When We First Met, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen these. It has Adam Devine.
I think, saw that.
Did you like it, John?
I thought it was fine. My kid loved it. I wanted to watch it with us, so
I
watched it.
Pleasantly
it was fine.
Surprised. That's because you're nice. You're too nice. You're like Mormon nice.
It's like a comedic butterfly effect type movie.
And then the other one I watched was Set It Up. I think that's their that new one that they're promoting. That.
Oh, yeah. I watched part of that. My wife and kids seem to enjoy that one, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, but Alan's not as nice as John.
Yep, I probably am not.
Alan is much nicer than I am.
Probably true. If I made fun of John every week on the podcast, I'm pretty sure we would have stopped like 100 episodes ago.
I am so nice.
Well, Alan has the best sense of humor. Alan has the best sense of humor.
I'm so nice that I let John and Devin specifically pick on me every week, and it's all good. It's all in the name of fun.
So.
Yeah, you're a good dude, Alan.
Back to me, because I want to talk about me for a minute. Because I feel like that's important and not being acknowledged here.
Toby Keith,
we're looking to wrap up the show, go ahead, Devin.
Those are my recommendations. I enjoyed them both.
Oh, you just needed to get that part
I did.
Okay.
I did. I can't be like, hey, I watched a movie, and people are listeners are on the edge of their seats.
When Devin says I watched a movie, yes, listeners are definitely like, on the edge of their seats.
What? I need to know. Is this, should I watch it too? And then I tell them that they should. And you know what they do?
You're right. They are on the edge of their seats because they're like, this guy's seen like 10 movies in his life. If he saw it, it must be good.
One last question.
You're like Zach Lowe.
One last question, Devin. One last question. It's July. Always Christmas in July. Admit it. You have flipped over to Hallmark Channel a few times this month.
I will tell you this. There was a Hallmark movie on my TV the other day, and I fell asleep in the same room as the TV.
Was it a Lacey Chabert movie?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay, I'm just wondering. I'm just curious.
And I will admit this. The DVR is full of them.
So you did at least record, if not...
No, I'm not the only person that uses a DVR around here. Okay, it wasn't me. Let's wrap it up. This is going in a bad direction. End of pod.
All right, folks. We want to thank you all for being along. And Jared, thank you for joining us this week. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Well, no, I just want to say that I want to thank you guys because I know that this never would have happened if I hadn't ragged on you guys for the last 2 years.
Probably 3 years, but 2 years sounds good.
Believe that. Maybe four.
No, but really, we appreciate you being on. We're glad you could join us and be a part of the show.
Oh, I love you guys. You guys are great.
And tell everybody where they can find you again on Twitter.
Go the distance 49.
There you go.
But more importantly, make sure to visit thejnotes.com because. And follow the J Notes handle because they're really the. I publish like one or two things a month. They publish like, and I'm going to see if I can maybe publish some more as a paid gig because I had an opportunity.
If I remember correctly,
which I might be looking at.
If I remember correctly, they're part of the Fan Sided Network.
Well, the Fan Sided only pays the editors, man.
I'm still just reminding everybody. J Notes is part of the Fan Sided Network, and I do have the Fan Sided app, and I do download and read the.
The Fan Sided app is incredible, man.
I do download and read
J Notes. Yeah.
But I do download and read the J Notes articles frequently and often. So shout out to J Notes. Shout out to you, Jared for being on the show with us, folks. You know where to find us. Jedi and Germs, you can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Don't confuse me with the editor, Jared Woodcox. He's great.
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Join our discussion. We do appreciate the feedback we get from everybody. And thank you all for joining us. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.